This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks, and let's begin today with a celebration and a rolling rally and parade. The confetti was flowing. Hundreds of thousands of jubilant fans lined the streets of Boston as the duck boats rolled through the city carrying the New England Patriots and their sixth Super Bowl trophy. Even New England's fickle weather gods showed up with temperatures in the 60s that bathed the celebration in warmth and sunshine. Now, if you're trying to get around the city today, it might have felt like a futile effort to break through the Patriots' defense, which managed to snuff out the mighty L.A. Rams Sunday night. But other than that, it was all good. And WBUR's Steve Brown was there. He was on the press truck in today's rolling rally, and he joins us now from the corner of Tremont Street and Park Street. And Steve, sounds like a pretty exciting event, and I guess things have quieted down a little bit now.
They have. They've been cleaning up, putting away the barricades. The street sweepers come by and try to pick up some of the confetti that's fallen. They're trying to get this place back to normal until the next big parade.
Right, until the next one. Wait till next year. So you got to actually experience this parade from a player's perspective aboard one of the – were you aboard one of the duck boats, in fact?
No, not a duck boat. It was just a pickup truck with some seats in the back, a press truck. It was pretty awesome, Anthony. I got to say, I did this 2 years ago, and it's the greatest way to watch one of these parades.
Pretty good assignment, Steve. Pretty good assignment.
It's one of the perks of the job, getting to see the crowds from the parade route. It's incredible when you make the turn onto Boylston Street down near the Hines, and you can see all the way down to Copley Square, people wearing red, white, and blue for as far as the eye can see. And then you just hear this thunderous applause the entire way. As a matter of fact, my ears stopped ringing about an hour ago. We don't know exactly how many people came out today, but definitely in the hundreds of thousands. And of course, this beautiful weather just encouraged more people to come out.
Yeah, I miss work. And I think I was watching this on television and I saw...
I was working.
You were working and I saw a picture of a kid that said, I skipped school in Ohio to be here. I love that. So, Steve, as we've mentioned a couple of times, there have been, since 2001, 12... championship parades in Boston. How did this one compare?
Well, I think more people turned out. Again, we don't have an official count yet, but this weather, it's the first week of February. We're in single digits of February. It's the 5th, I believe it is. And it is warmer today than it was on October 31st, which was when we had the last one of these parades, when the Red Sox were being honored here on the streets of Boston. It was colder. It was in the 50s. Today, it's in the 60s. People are in their shorts, just having a great time.
Now, were there any particular spots along the route that were the most memorable for you?
It's hard to pick just one. Of course, it's relatively quiet on Dalton Street where everybody's queuing up, where the players are getting onto the duck boats and onto the flatbeds. And then you turn that corner, and then the sound, the sound's not turned up to 11. It's turned up to 111 when you make that turn. You just hear it, and it's sustained. It's constant the entire way. Crowds up by the Hines, they're nearly a dozen deep on the sidewalk. You move further down into Copley Square. That's where a huge number of people gather. There, it's threefold. You're probably, 30 people deep. Onto Copley Square. As you get to down by Tremont and Boylston Street, Emerson College, there's a building there at the corner that's being rehabbed. There were construction workers in hard hats hanging out of the open windows, waving at the players, and of course they were waving back. The crowds swelled again by the Common, swelled again at City Hall Plaza. Just an incredible sight and incredible sounds.
Mm. So Boston Mayor Marty Walsh had urged the fans to celebrate respectfully. He specifically mentioned not to throw beer cans at players, which is something that happened during the Red Sox parade last spring. Any problems along the way, or did this crowd mostly behave?
I haven't heard any official word whether, I'm sure someone somewhere along the way misbehaved and found themselves on the wrong side of the law. But from my vantage point, the crowd appeared to behave. I did see a few small liquor bottles tossed, but not to the level that things were hurled during the Red Sox parade.
Right. Steve, we're getting pretty spoiled in this city with all of the success that these sports teams are having. I'm wondering if you heard anything from anyone along the way saying, we're kind of getting tired of celebrating.
Not at all. there's almost an expectation that we have a sports celebration here now every few months. And I wouldn't be surprised. Many of the people out here today would be quite happy to be back in a few months amid a sea of green and white or black and gold. Now, that might be a little presumptuous, but then again, we're talking about Boston sports fans. We have high expectations around.
High expectations. How times have changed, right, Steve, compared to when you and I were young men in this city? Kind of a different time.
Absolutely.
That's WBUR's reporter Steve Brown, who was covering the Patriots' rolling rally and parade celebration today in the streets of Boston. Steve, thanks so much.
Thanks, Anthony.
So among the big questions about this extraordinary Patriots dynasty and the Bill Belichick and Tom Brady partnership is this.
Brady!
Just how great is Tom Brady? That's the question. Where does he rank in the pantheon of Boston sports heroes? We know what those fans would probably say. And writing today in the Boston Globe, sports writer Dan Shaughnessy says the debate is settled. Tom Brady is the greatest Boston athlete of all times. Sorry, Teddy Ballgame. Our apologies to you, Bobby Orr. And with the deepest respect, apologies to Bill Russell. But not everyone agrees. Peter May covered the NBA and the Boston Celtics for nearly two decades and says that Shaughnessy is dead wrong. He wrote a piece for WBUR's Cognoscenti Ideas and Opinion page entitled Sorry, but Tom Brady isn't the greatest of all time. Bill Russell is. And Peter May joins us now. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Anthony. How are you?
I'm pretty well. So you may be the only guy in Boston speaking truth to greatness today. Tom Brady's not the greatest. It's Bill Russell. Tell us why.
Well, I mean, I don't think I'm the only one in Boston that feels that way. I mean, judging from the comments I've gotten. No, I mean, it's not even worthy of debate. I mean, this is a guy who won 11 championships in 13 years. He won 8 straight championships. He won 2 of them as a coach. He revolutionized the game. To me, he's the greatest winner in all of team sports. And I think what I wrote in the column today is that my favorite statistic is he was 21-0 in games in which the loser goes home. And that's just, to me, that's astonishing. And I'm not taking anything away from Brady. I think he's probably going to go down as the greatest quarterback, you know, of all time. And he should. But
not Bill Russell.
He's not. No.
So no one is. Peter, we asked actually Dan Shaughnessy to join us today. He wasn't available, but I'm just going to read you a couple of things that he wrote in making his case, and I'd love you to respond to that. So, you know, he doesn't take away from what you said about Russell. He calls him the greatest winner in the history of American sports. No one is going to match 11 of 13. But then he says of Brady, it's everything. He's a leader. He's clutch. He plays MVP level in his 40s. And on nights when he struggles, such as Sunday in Atlanta, he still wins because he can find a way to beat you. What do you think?
All true.
All true, but still doesn't make him the greatest.
No, I mean, you can go back and put Russell's name in instead of Brady's name in that, you know, sentence. And he didn't play into his 40s, but he played well into his 30s. And was still winning and coaching at the same time. It's not really apples and oranges, but it sort of is. It's because you're dealing with two different sports. You're dealing with a guy who plays on only one side of the ball. I mean, Tom Brady could have the greatest game of his career, but if the defense doesn't play well, he's not going to win. You know, Russell played both sides, as all basketball players are wont to do. And Russell played most of the game, as the good ones are wont to do. So it can't really compare them in terms of sports. But Brady is going to go down as obviously the greatest, you know, quarterback winner in pro football,
yeah.
But not in all sports, and certainly not in Boston when you've got the greatest winner of them all.
So, as you find yourself in the midst of this great debate, I mean, I'm sure you've heard.
By the way, Anthony, it's a fun debate.
Yeah, it is a fun debate. No, it's
Dan and I would talk about this, you know, if he was on the line now, and you know, he's a friend and colleague, and we would have a good time talking about it. This is water cooler stuff. This is what makes sports fun.
Yeah, I agree. I wish he were here. And I have to say, I don't really have a horse in this race because I'm not sure what I think about it. I'm intrigued by both of your arguments, but let me ask you about this. So, Bill Russell's run with the Celtics started in an era when the NBA consisted of only 8 teams, 6 of which made the playoffs. So doesn't that sort of weaken the argument in terms of how many times he actually won?
You can say that both ways. You can say, yes, you're right, it was only 8 teams. But think about the fact that how good those teams were and who he had to face every night. I mean, there were you know, half a dozen Hall of Famers on the Celtics at one time or another. The Lakers had several. He played against Oscar Robertson and Wilt Chamberlain and Chet Walker and Billy Cunningham and all these players. So there wasn't the oversaturation of talent that you find now, not just in football, but especially in the NBA right now. The guys on rosters who would, you know, 20 years ago wouldn't even be considered to be NBA prospects, but there's so many teams, there's so many places and spaces that you have to fill that these people are going to get jobs. And so you can look at it both ways. Yes, there were only eight teams. Yes, the playoffs were shortened. But those eight teams, those were the best players in the world that were playing at that time. And it was a competitive, you know, situation.
So another point, we Bob Oakes this morning on Morning Edition talked to Bob Ryan. He wasn't actually chiming in on this particular argument about Bill Russell versus Tom Brady. They were talking more about Celtics versus the Patriots' record and sort of what they've accomplished. But Bob Ryan pointed out that Brady and the Patriots sustained this unprecedented level of success at a time when the NFL has structured the league to make long-term dominance much more difficult. Here's a bit of what he said.
The era of free agency, the salary cap. No other team has managed to do what the Patriots have done with these two handicaps, and they are handicaps. So there's no question that this achievement is astonishing. The rest of the league is truly in awe about what they have been able to do.
So he's talking about the Patriots overall, obviously, but I'm going to sort of substitute sort of Tom Brady in there, doing this, you know, amassing this incredible record of success in an era when it's designed to achieve parity. Doesn't that make him, isn't that an argument in his favor of greatness?
It is. No, Bob's absolutely right. It certainly is. But that doesn't, you know, I'm still sticking with number six.
You're not going to back down from that.
You know, every year for eight straight years he won.
Yeah.
You know, that's hard to do.
Mm. Yeah. So remind us what it was like then, because I think there are a lot of people who are listening who might not recall sort of those or who weren't alive during those years when they just won again and again and again with Bill Russell.
Yeah. It was the funny thing about that back then is that Boston was essentially a hockey town in the 60s when the Celtics went on that streak. I mean, they won in 57 and then 59 to 66. And during that time, the Bruins outdrew them, even though the Bruins were terrible and were awaiting the arrival of Bobby Orr, who came right at the end of the Celtics dynasty. So it was kind of a nice little segue into what we that all thought at the time was going to be a sustained period of excellence for the Bruins, and it resulted in two Stanley Cups, but that was it. But the Celtics had to struggle to draw people. It wasn't a basketball town. And, you know, I don't know if race played a factor in it. It could have. But they generally would do all right in the playoffs, but during the regular season, they were, you know, sporadic crowds in the Garden. I can remember Johnny Most would be on the radio saying, you know, we want 13,909 of you to come out Sunday, you know, it's whoever they were playing. it was a struggle to sell tickets.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you just about this amazing run of success that we've seen from Boston sports teams since 2001. 12 championships and at least one in all four of the major sports. It's quite a time we're going through here.
Yeah, I mean, you can pick any city in America and they got to be thinking, you know, what is going on here? Because, you know, you had situations in New York where the Yankees would win periodically, and you'd have situations in Montreal where the Canadiens would win, you know, periodically, regularly, however you want to phrase it. But this is something that's been going on for almost 20 years now, and you've got somebody either winning or coming pretty close to winning almost every year, and the Patriots are one of those teams, but the Celtics have chipped in there, and the Bruins have. Red Sox have won four. So I got to think, if you're a sports fan in Boston right now, this has got to be like, you know, high noon. You got to be loving it.
Yeah. So one more question, and I want to bring Bob Ryan back into this. So he pointed out on WBUR's Morning Edition today that the Patriots are still going to be a threat to win it all next year. Here's what he said.
Let's say that he were to deteriorate 10%, and I'm not saying he's going to, but were he to deteriorate 10% by next year, he still would be a top 10 quarterback. And you can win with a top 10 quarterback. So the Patriots are still going to be a threat next year.
So here's my question. Let's say Brady and the Pats repeat next year. That would mean back-to-back Super Bowl titles. Four of the last six, seven total, Brady would have more titles than any other NFL team. Would that put him over the top for you?
As the greatest in Boston?
Yeah, as the greatest. I'm trying to figure out a way to nudge you off this Bill Russell statue.
Well, it's not going to happen.
Not going to happen. Okay.
Don't waste your time. I will say this, though. I mean, one of the things about when Bob was talking about was that the thing that has struck me over the years is just how pathetic the competition has been in the conference and in the division for the Patriots. It's amazing to
Good
me
point.
That not one team has emerged as a consistent challenge to them, as somebody that can really, you know, make them work to get their division title, and that speaks to the Patriots' excellence, but I think it also speaks to just some really, really bad management and bad decision-making in the AFC in general and in the division in particular.
Well, Peter May, former writer for the Boston Globe, you can find a link to his WBUR Cognoscenti piece, Sorry, but Tom Brady isn't the greatest of all time, Bill Russell is, at RadioBoston.org. You can also find a link to Dan Shaughnessy's piece claiming that, no, it's Tom Brady who's the greatest. Peter May.
Tom Brady. All right.
You like Tom Brady. Peter May, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate
You're
it. Fun debate. I really appreciate it. Stay with us. There's more ahead. Coming up, a closer look at the State of the Union with Congressman Jim McGovern. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.
Wait, don't go yet.
Because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.